Those that are watching by internet, Spirit Life Training is the book that you're supposed to have. If you have any of the book, you have the wrong one. This particular book is going to be very interesting because we're going to learn how to incorporate our soul into the supernatural lifestyle. A lot of people leave out the soul or the mind from the supernatural process, but it is impossible to leave it out, because without your mind, you can't process nothing. Without your mind, you can't follow instructions. Without your mind, you can't meditate. Joshua 1:8, Psalms 1:3. Without your mind, without your soul being involved, there is no way you can enter into the supernatural. And so there has not been a lot of teaching on the soul and how it works with the supernatural. And so we're going to deal with that. One of the main issues that people have with the soul is trying to use the soul in the supernatural without the escort of the Holy Spirit. Your mind has always got to be escorted by the Holy Spirit when it delves into the supernatural. There is so much going on in the supernatural. There's so much happening in the supernatural. There is so much going on that it is literally impossible for our soul by itself to process everything. That's why people who study, people who are psychiatrists that delve too far over into the spirit realm and start dealing with issues they don't know how to deal with, that's how come they go crazy. Psychologists, when they start dealing with trying to explain the supernatural without the help of the Holy Spirit, that's how come they lose their mind. Because the Holy Spirit has got to escort your mind into the supernatural. Your mind will not survive in the supernatural without the Holy Spirit escorting it. So that's what this book is all about. Because your mind plays a vital role in accessing the supernatural. We're going to talk about it tonight very briefly. This is basic information. It's basic for a lot of us. Some of us don't know that you're a tri-type being. Most people don't understand that they're a tri-type being. They're not aware that they're made of three different parts. Not only are they not aware that they are made of three different parts, but that the three different parts that we're made of all have functions, and they all have to work together for us to operate in the supernatural. So that's what we're going to work on this particular year. This book is going to take us the whole year to go through, especially when we start dealing with the soul, because the soul has five areas we're going to deal with: memory, intellect, emotions. We're going to deal with all that, because if you don't properly, your soul has five different parts. If you don't properly understand how to control all five, then you're going to have trouble trying to operate in the spirit realm, all right? We know how my class works. Everybody knows our open book exams. If you can read, you can pass my exams. If you try to guess at my exams, you will fail it, because the answer is going to come directly out the book. I'm trying to think of anything. Oh, I need you all to rejoin a text messaging group. You text capital EIWTC. The reason why I need you to rejoin is because I eliminated everybody, because we have some graduates from last year that might not want to be getting these texts, so I eliminated everybody. So just simple, if you do it again, it's EIWTC. You texting that to 41411. EIWTC, text that to the number 41411, and you should get a reply and let you did it, and then come back, and it's going to let you know you joined the group. Now, this is important so you can know any changes made, the class scheduling, any other information you need to have. It'd be good for you to have, so that we have more than one means of contact for you. We have email, and we're better text you. So those that are watching by internet, is text EIWTC to the number 41411, all right? Turn with me to very first scripture we're going to look at is, let me get to it. First Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. First Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. First Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Fifth chapter and the 23rd verse. In understanding how our soul works with our mind, it's very important that we understand how we are made. Tonight we're going to spend a very short time that we have talking about that we are tri-type beings, meaning we made of three parts. First Thessalonians explains to us what three parts there are. In the 23rd verse, and it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," meaning all as one. Meaning that means everything has been set apart. Then he goes to break it down. He says, "I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body and conjunction," meaning these things are separated, but yet as a whole, they're sanctified, they're separated. "I pray you hold your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now listen to this, 24th verse. "Faithful is he that calleth you, also will do it." Other words, if we open the door, God is able to not only sanctify our spirits, but is also able to sanctify our minds and sanctify our bodies. So here you see the Apostle Paul is beginning to separate the three: whole spirit, soul, and body. So let's put these things in chronological order. Number one, you are a spirit. Matter of fact, let me say this. You are an eternal spirit. You have always existed. You might not remember, but you have always existed. If I am a son of God, if you are a daughter of God, that means you come from God, right? That means you're made in his image, right? So that means if God always has been, that means I've always have been. Are you seeing this? And if I've always been, that means I will always be. So that means when I leave this earth, I will still exist. I just have to make a choice where I'm going to exist at, in either heaven or hell. See, when somebody say they die, or even somebody who die outside of Christ, don't mean they don't exist no more. That just simply means they won't exist with the Father. They will be existing. They just won't exist with the Father. So a spirit never goes away. A spirit exists always. So you are an internal spirit. You have a soul. Other words, you have mental capabilities. All right. And you just so happen to live in a body. Now, we are the only ones made up like that. A plant has a body, but no soul and no spirit. Animals have a body and a soul, but no spirit. We're the only ones that have a spirit, so as humans. So that means we're the only ones that can communicate with God. We're the only ones that can have dialogue with him. No other entity can have dialogue with him. Only us. You are an eternal spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. And here is the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians saying, "I pray that you're wholly sanctified." Other words, WH W-H-O-L-L-Y, not H-O-L-L-Y. W-H-O-L-L-Y means everything is set apart. Then he says, I pray that your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved blameless. Are you seeing this? Then it comes back to say that faithful is God, who said he would do it, who promised he would do it, and is able to do it. So that means that our eternal spirit, you as an eternal spirit, your tool, the soul, and your legal right to be here, your body, God wants to set those things apart for his purpose. Are you seeing this? So here it is. Now I'm saying it in chronological order on purpose, because your spirit has to be the dominant. Your spirit has to be in leadership. Then your soul has to become a servant to the spirit. And your body has to be a slave to the mind. Does that make sense? Are you seeing this, internet? I need to make sure you understand this, so that when we start delving into the aspects of the soul, we won't think that the soul is dominant, because the soul has all these features. All those features of the soul, those five areas of the soul, the imagination, the intellect, the will and emotion, and memory. All those things, all those different components of the soul are just tools for the spirit to express itself in the natural. Are you seeing this? And so it's going to be very important that you understand who's in control. For 90% of the body of Christ, the soul is in control. So that's why we have what we like to call carnal Christians, because the mind is the thing that runs everything. How many times we say that, we make this statement, I'm not moved by what I see, I'm not moved by what I feel, I'm only moved by what I believe. Now, some people move by what they see. They move by how they feel. Are you seeing this? It's important that you understand that your spirit is in leadership. Because when your spirit is in leadership, that means your mind can't run rampant. No matter what happens, your mind can't run rampant if you know your spirit is in leadership. For some people, their body is in control. What do I mean, their body is in control? People whose body is in control usually can't deal with sin. There's no temptation they can't pass. They can't pass no temptation. Every temptation comes, they fall. Because their body is in control. See, a person whose body is in control will always have problems. Always going to be having issues. Always going to be in trouble. Always going to be doing stuff they ain't got no business doing, because their body is in control. So you have to understand that the spirit has to be in control. Turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. Paul says something here in this first verse that seems, when you really break this down, you really read the scripture. And see, here, y'all know this. I like to break the scriptures down and really read them word for word, so you can really see what is being said. Because a lot of times we memorize scriptures or we read scriptures and we don't really get the, we miss certain words that might crack the scripture open for us. Here it is, like in this chapter, this 12th chapter, the first verse. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye, first of all, that's number one, you present your bodies. Nobody's going to do it for you. If your body is in control, it ain't gonna be no presenting. Because it probably don't want to do what God says do. Because watch this now, watch this. Sin is in our flesh, not in our spirits. God is the only one that has access to our spirit. He's the only one. You say, well, no, Satan get to our spirit through your mind. God is the only one that can communicate directly to our spirit. The only one. Everybody else got to find a loophole to get to your spirit. Does that make sense? So every time Satan is giving you a thought, he's trying to access your spirit. Is this making sense? Watch this. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present. You present. Nobody else is going to do it. You have to do it. You present your bodies. Watch this. A living what? Sacrifice. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Every other sacrifice that I have ever known and read about in the Bible has been dead. But here it is. Paul said we have to present our bodies as the living dead. What that means? That means our body can't be in control. In order for us to present our bodies, it can't be in control. If it's in control, it ain't gonna kill itself. Other words, what I mean, kill itself. It's not going to put its will. It's not gonna kill its will. It's not gonna kill its desires. Why? Because it's in control. If you ain't in control, you ain't let nobody kill you. So this is why Paul said, you, meaning your spirit, has to present your body a living sacrifice. Watch what it says. A living sacrifice that's holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Other words, that's the least you can do. That's the very least you can do. If you don't do nothing else, you have to present your body a living sacrifice. Now watch this. How do I present my body as a living sacrifice? Excuse me. How do I present my body as a living dead entity? How do I do that? We got one part that's going to help us do it. But you got to do it. Meaning your spirit. Going to present your body as a living dead item to God. What it means. When you bring your body to God, your body should say, God, what do you want to do with it? How do I present my body as a living sacrifice? Paul says it in the second verse. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your what? Mind. So if my mind is not being renewed, that means the true me won't be able to present my body. See, if I'm not renewing my mind with the Word of God, if I'm not taking my imagination, I'm going over to five. We're going to break them all down this year. If I'm not taking my imagination, if I'm not taking my memory, if I'm not taking my intellect, if I'm not taking my will and my emotions, if I'm not taking those things and I'm not washing them with the Word of God, then it's going to be impossible for me to present my body as a living sacrifice. Other words, my body, 1 Corinthians 6, my body is not my own. For I was bought with a price. I have to glorify God in my body. That can't happen if I'm not taking my mind and renewing my mind with the Word of God. Because if my mind is not being renewed with the Word of God, it's going to be renewed with something. So I have to make the choice that I have to renew my mind with the Word of God. This is why you can't let a day go by without meditating the Word of God. When you let a day, every time you let a day go by and you're not meditating the word of God, you're conforming to the world. Because here's the thing. You're not going to go through the day without taking no action. You're going to do something. Even if you just want to be lazy and lay in the bed, that's doing something. That's being lazy. If you do that too many days in a row, what's going to happen? You're going to reap. You're going to conform. Is this making sense? So renewing your mind with the word of God strengthens you, the real you, because what the word of God does, the word of God begins to show you who you really are. All right, John, the first chapter. Watch this. We got five more minutes. John, the first chapter. The word of God shows you who you really are. It says the first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear the witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not light, but it was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and the own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to what? Become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Here it is. John is describing Jesus. And the very first way that thing that John said about Jesus in that first verse was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Later on that chapter, it talks about, and the Word became flesh. Right? That's what it said, right? So therefore, if Jesus found himself in the scriptures, you should find yourself in the scripture. Because the Bible also says he is the firstborn of many brethren. Genesis 1:26 says we're made after the image of God and in his likeness. Here it is. What is God and what is his likeness? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. So if I'm made in his likeness, that means I have to take his word to find out who I truly am. And when I find out who I truly am, it strengthens me to control the other two parts of my tri-type being and make them line up with Romans 12 and 1. That's why verse 2 is so important. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. What I'm renewing my mind with? I'm renewing my mind with the Word of God. Why am I renewing my mind with the Word of God? Because the Word of God is the only thing that's telling me who I truly am. Because everybody else is going to lie to you. Everybody going to tell you how you can't make it. Everybody going to tell you how your sin going to take you to hell. Everybody going to tell you this. They're going to tell you that. But the Word of God is the only thing that's going to tell you the truth about yourself. And not only tell you the truth about yourself, but empower you to be yourself. Empower you to be who God called you to be. Empower you to make the right decisions when you need to make them. That's why renewing your mind is so important, because it allows you to see who you really are. Then and only then can you present your body a living sacrifice. Watch this. Verse 3, and we're closing here. Romans 12, go back there. Romans 12, verse 3. Why is it important that I renew my mind with the Word of God? Why is it important? That's what it says in the rest of that verse. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that ye may be able to prove, another word for that is recognize. Recognize what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, why would Paul come and say for you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think? Because after you come out of verse 2, you're going to start thinking high of yourself. Why are you going to start thinking high of yourself? Because the word of God is telling you who you really are. But Paul said, hold on, don't start tripping. Because you're only that because by of the grace of God. I need you to remember that. But here he's telling you, listen, it gives you confidence to do what God has called you to do. When you renew your mind with the word of God, you start really finding out who you are. It gives you confidence to do what he's telling you to do. Because if you don't really know who you are, you don't know, you don't really understand or even fully grasp of what you're capable of doing. See, this is why it's so hard for people to realize and get in line with the apostolic, is because they figure we've been taught for so long that only the fivefold miracles happen through the hands of the fivefold. That ain't true. That's not true. Because watch this. Elijah told Naaman to go dip through Gehazi. Then he still wasn't going to do it. One of his servants had to tell him, listen, if it was hard to do, this man that gave you something easy to do. This is his servant telling him this. Are you getting this? See, when you renew your mind with the word of God, it begins to really show you who you are. It begins to take out of you what needs to be taken out of you and place in you what needs to be placed in you. Then you can recognize what God has called you to do. Then you can recognize what his will is for your life, because now you ain't paying attention to what nobody tell you about what you can accomplish, what you can't accomplish. You ain't paying attention to your college education, whether you have it or you don't have it. You ain't paying attention to your elementary education, whether you got it or you don't have it. You're not paying attention to none of that. All you paying attention to is what God is saying about you. Then you can walk boldly into the throne of grace and obtain mercy in the time of need. Because now I have a right to be here. So now watch this. I have decided to bring myself in there. I'm bringing myself, and everybody got to come along with me. My mind has been renewed, so it ain't tripping. My body got to. So shut up and come on here. And watch this. It don't have no choice. It's got to come. How many seeing this? So you're a tri-type being. Your spirit is the dominant king. Your soul is the servant, a tool. That's all your soul is, really a tool. It's really a tool. It ain't nothing else but a tool. You got to use it. A tool is made to use. You got to use your mind to cooperate with your spirit. Because see, why you got to use your mind? Because your body ain't listening to your spirit. Y'all ain't know that? Your body ain't listening to your spirit. Your body listening to your mind. Your body is listening to your mind, not your spirit. So your spirit is telling your mind what to do. And your mind is telling your body what to do. And so when you get those three things in line, when you know that your spirit is dominant, how your spirit is dominant, when you keep renewing your mind, you keep telling your mind, putting your mind back in its place. Did let you know your mind is not controlling nothing. Your mind is conforming to something. Second verse. It's either conformed to the world or it's going to conform the kingdom. It's either going to conform to the world or it's going to conform the kingdom. Conform the kingdom. I want it to conform to kingdom so that the spirit can tell it what to do, and then it can return tell the body what to do. Last statement. Your thoughts. Watch this. Your thoughts control your feelings. Your feelings control your actions. And your actions bring results. That is a spiritual, natural, universal law. Your thoughts control your feelings. I'm going to explain that next week. Your feelings control your actions, and your actions bring definite results. So in other words, if I don't like my results, what would I have to do? Change my actions. If I don't like my, in order for my actions to change, I'm going to have to change how I feel. That's right, your feelings got something to do with this. You ain't going to do nothing you don't have a conviction about. You're not going to do nothing you don't have a conviction about. See, feelings is the gas to your thoughts. Your convictions, your emotions is the gas that gives energy to your actions. It causes you to do something. You don't do anything you don't, you're not convicted of. You don't, if you're not convinced, you're not, you ain't doing nothing. You ain't, you're going to sit there. Mm-mm. You're going to sit there and watch everybody else move if you're not convinced, if you don't have any feelings toward it. And if I want my feelings to change, then I'm going to have to change my thoughts. Now watch this. Here it is. If I want my thoughts to change, I'm going to change my environment. What's coming in my environment? So if you don't like the financial results you're getting, you got to change your financial actions. You got to change your financial feelings. You got to change your financial thoughts. You got to change your financial environment. In other words, you can't be hanging around people all day long talking about they ain't bad, they're making it. I don't know where I'm going to get my next paycheck from. I don't know this. I don't know if I'm ever on a house. I don't know if I'm ever going to be out of debt. Well, every time you hear that, it's creating a thought. That thought is going to produce a feeling. Well, maybe, I don't know. Well, maybe, maybe I'm not going to be out of debt either. Then next thing you know, you're feeling that way, so now you start behaving with money in that fashion. Which means now your actions coming out. You're doing something based on how you feel. Now that result is coming from how you behave. Is that making sense? So your thoughts control your feelings control your actions brings results. So we're going to deal with that next week. Y'all have a great night.